You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Good morning, everybody. So last week, Chris introduced us to the new series of Discipleship Culture, and you have been given some homework. So I hope you have done it and that you have already felt some nudges of the Holy Spirit in you as He's leading you towards some person or people of peace in your life, and that you will feel compelled to actually share somehow in one way or the other the love of Christ. So when we approach people with this evangelism or sharing the love of Christ on our hearts, it might feel scary. We might be afraid of rejection, because it's not easy to be said, no, I'm not interested, leave me alone, I mind my business, you mind yours, I don't want to hear any of it. Rejection doesn't feel good. These feelings of some fear are natural and normal. We are human beings with feelings. But these feelings of rejection or any fear cannot stop us. As we are learning in this course, we had to do it afraid. So I love the scripture in Philippians 2:12 that actually says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is good scripture. And my wife, Chris, she hates flying, for example. Wherever we fly, that's when she's very cuddly, you know, she wants to hold my hand because the aeroplane will explode and whatever will happen, you know. But even though she hates flying and she's all of us, you know, not anxious and whatever, we still flew to Thailand last month to enjoy our holidays. So some things in life we have to do with fear and trembling. And it was so much worth it, wasn't it, darling? You know. Okay. So, and we will do it again, promise, you know, with more fear and trembling. And the further we fly, the more fear. But that's good. She holds my hand at least, you know. And I will make sure it's worth it. So, some people are afraid of getting married, you know. They enter the marriage with fear and trembling. And some say there is a reason for it. But we do things with fear and trembling. So it is with discipleship, with sharing the love of Christ. Fear and trembling, so be it. We do all kinds of things with that kind of feelings. So before we go further into this study, I want to read the scripture to you that will lead us in our discussion on the discipleship culture. The scripture from 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 1 to verse 15. The Apostle Paul. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. See, again, negative feeling. We groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent here, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the Lord and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, the Lord, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. Paul is writing to Corinthians, so, okay. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, I mean crazy, as some say, some might say that about you, so be it. It is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Rather long passage, but I wanted to read it all because it will give us better understanding what I'm trying to say. So Apostle Paul uses his rabbi as, so he uses a lot of, you know, flowery languages, words, and sometimes it's kind of difficult to follow what he's trying to say, but I like his statement. He starts, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," you know, even that, who speaks like this, you know, "but we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." We know, he says. So it speaks about some certainty, something fundamental, something that is on to you, you know, foundational Christian knowledge. Our earthly tent, he uses these words, our body, this physical body that we have, is temporary dwelling. And that dwelling will be, this tent will be destroyed. We will all die. That's a good news. We will not have to live on this planet forever. Praise the Lord. We will leave this tent behind, and the permanent dwelling that is ahead of us, building from God, our eternal house, is waiting for us, and we can't wait to move in. That's basically, in simple, kind of more simple language, what Paul is saying in this whole big passage. And then he's also put some emotions. So yeah, we groan, we are burdened. He uses this kind of negative feeling. It's so hard to be here on this earth. Once we know Lord, once we know what's ahead of us, it's like, wow. And he says so many times, "I want to die. I want to see the Lord. I want to be in his glory. I'm already sitting there, but I'm still here." Oh, you know, this is battle in his soul, in his spirit. And that's what he's expressing. We groan. And he continues, "For we live by faith, not by sight." That's what we've heard in Galatians a couple of weeks ago that we studied in more details. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith, faith, faith is all that we have. And the whole book of Galatians speaks of that in much more details. And this faith gives us confidence, and we make it our goal to please him, please our Lord. So we are still in this tent, and you can call your body a tent, temporary dwelling place. We are not here permanently, but we are here, and while we live in this tent, we have a job to do. And Paul describes this way, that job of ours. And I like his words are interesting. "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others." This is the job description. We try. We give it a go. We give it a go. We try to tell others and persuade them and make them disciples. That's what our job is while we are in this tent, before we reach permanent place. Simplicity of the language helps to understand that, you see. So now we are disciples of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus is a natural response to his calling. When Jesus said, "Come, follow me, come to me," we have heard, we respond and come, "Okay, Lord, here we are, we follow you." We come and receive what he offers, his love, his forgiveness, his overwhelming love, and our response is, "Oh my God, it's so good.
I have to tell others. I cannot keep it to myself. And then we share. Because Paul says this in different language, because we know what fear of the Lord is. We know what fear of the Lord is. Because we have that fear of the Lord in here, in us, we have nothing else to fear. Now, if we could go back 2,000 years ago and see those 12 uneducated, mainly uneducated, men of Galilee, fishermen and all kind of jobs they had before, you know, just ordinary workers, tradies, we would say today. Can we imagine these men, what kind of fear they felt when Jesus called them and said, and now go and preach the gospel to the whole world, to all nations, to the ends of the earth. I mean, all the nations, are you serious, Lord? We don't even know how many nations there are, you know? Didn't you mean to say just next door neighbor nations? Yeah, we could go to Egypt maybe. We have no money for travel. We have no maps, no GPS, no transport, no travel insurance, no mobile phones for communication, no connection in our places. They had nothing. 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 They had no idea what the world is, whole world, how to do it. It was a scary thought. But they did it anyway. All nations, Lord, you must be kidding. That's mission impossible. We are not Tom Cruises, you know. We are not superheroes. But they did it. They did the impossible. Because the fear of the Lord was in them. They had no other fears. Or they did it with fear. They did it with their fear. They did it. We know what we have received. And we have that burning desire to share it with others. We know what the fear of the Lord is. And we try to persuade others, Paul says. As simple as it, as he says, you see. We try to make disciples. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you'll receive rejection, kick in the butt. That's what Jesus told even disciples. Go to some villages, and if they will not receive you, just shake your dust and go to the next. That's okay. They hated me, they will hate you. But some will love you. Now, I love how the Word of God describes our position in the situation, in this process. And I really want to focus on this portion of Scripture. I specifically want to point to one peculiar word that is especially peculiar in the original Greek language. So what scripture I'm talking about? It's this word. The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels us. Usually when we have with Chris, we have counseling sessions, whether with individuals or couples for wedding preparation, marriage counseling, relationship counseling or whatever, and we talk about love, we explain that love is not binding people. Love is not restricting people. Love gives freedom. Love gives wings, you know. You cannot make anybody to love you, love us, or love anyone. It's not something you can force on people. It's a decision of a free will. We offer love. It's sacrificially, you know. There are no strings attached. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not selfish. It's not ruling over people. It's not overpowering them. It's not manipulating people. So, yet this language in this scripture sounds slightly different. This language is quite intriguing. The love of Christ compels us. It sounds like the love of Jesus Christ that is in here, that fear of the Lord that we know, is forcing us to do something or be involved something in some activities or actions that we would not do otherwise. And let me actually explain to you that word compels. That's the key word in here. Because that will give us even deeper understanding of the heaviness of this one statement. Okay, so you know, my passion for languages. So the word compelled in Greek is synecho. And it's again, it's composite word. Syn is like together, like synagogue, syntax, syn, whatever, symbolism, whatever. We got syn. So it means always together. And echo means to have, to hold. So the word together, synecho, means to hold together, glued together, or have a tight grip on something. Synecho. And I like the explanation that I found in my study Bible. Just on this one particular word in this passage of scripture. And this is, I'll explain later. So this is from my study Bible. The word synecho describes people who are afflicted with various diseases and pains or paralyzed by fear. It describes crowds hemming Christ in. Synecho is used when the army surrounding Jerusalem is, you know, like siege around Jerusalem. Synecho is used when soldiers were arresting Jesus, they hold firm grip on him. Synecho, Jesus, see? Holding him fast. In every use of this word, there is a sense of constraint, tight grip that prevents an escape. The love of Christ leaves us no choice except to live our lives for him. This is from the study Bible. And then you've got all these scriptures where this word, the same word, compels, is used, but it's translated in different way in every instance. It's never translated compelled, but that's the same word. In, you know, all those examples you've got them on the screen. So all these instances, you know, like when the arrested Jesus, the love of Christ, puts you like nearly shackles on you. It does not let you what you really would like to do, but compels you to do something that he wants. But it's not a robotic thing. You have a free say in it. You can accept it or reject it. But once you once you accept it, then it really compels you. When the love of Christ is poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, your inner feelings, your desires, your wants are changed. And it compels you to actions that without Christ's love, you wouldn't do. The best word to describe it, the love of Christ is straitjacket. I mean, straitjacket sounds very negative because when you are, I don't know, have you anybody been in a straitjacket already? Okay. I can't speak of experience, but I can imagine it does not feel that good. But the love of Christ is like that straitjacket that gets you in complete stillness, that you focus on things that are really on God's heart. It does not let us to live willy-nilly because we have a purpose now. We have permanent dwelling place where we all go. We live in these tents in here and we have a job to do. The pursuit others and the love of Christ is always on our mind, on our hearts. Hang on, I live forever. I'm responsible. I'm accountable to my Lord. How I spend these few little short moments on this earth, in this tent, in this temporary dwelling. So I had to do something about those who don't know yet. The love of Christ within us is the strongest motivational power on this planet. And everything we do is powered and inspired by that love and passion. That love does not let us to do things that are not done out of love towards our neighbor. This constraining power of that love is like a jacket that keeps you still from distractions. So what is this love helping us to understand? Again, I'll read the words of Paul from this passage. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live in this tense should no longer live for themselves. Do we hear that language? But for him who died for them and was raised again. So this scripture, this love, this straitjacket helps us to understand that Jesus died for all, But all don't know it yet. All have not heard it yet. All are not saved yet. So that love of Christ constrains us from wasting our time, energy, money, our lives, all lives, and resources, whatever we have, whatever we are, on wasting them on things that are not necessarily helpful and useful in eternity view. The whole series of discipleship culture is teaching us of this necessity of understanding, of sharing the love of Christ. This is our DNA. We are changed from everybody who's in Christ is a new creation. You have a new DNA in Christ because you are son and daughter of God. And we have heard it's okay to do it with fear and trembling. You feel inadequate? That's okay. Look at those disciples 2,000 years ago. Do you think they felt adequate, smart and strongest and best? Hardly. Yet they did the mission impossible possible. See? Fear and trembling will not stop us. But lastly, also, being a disciple maker does not mean that you have to now jump on an aeroplane with fear and trembling and travel to some faraway, God-forgotten country and speak to those heathens, unreached people groups and sacrifice your life and happiness and family and everything. That's not what we are talking about. The whole idea of this course is to go and ask someone, would you like to have a coffee with me? And as we have a coffee, can't we read the Bible together? Would you read the Bible with me? And people can say only two things, yes and no. Or maybe third, maybe, which is half yes. See? So find your person of peace and just invite him for a cuppa. And as you are through your cappuccino, just read Mark chapter 1 and then ask him, what do you reckon? And that's it. Leave the rest of the Holy Spirit. No theological training needed. No missionary course required. No great preparation necessary. Just read and talk about it. You don't have to have all the answers. It's okay to say, I don't know. If they ask something, I don't know everything. I know something. I know a few things. But it's okay not to know. But it's great to let the Word of God do its job in every people's hearts. That's it. We try to pursue others. But it's not by our human power, human understanding, our skills, because it's the Word of God. And we have the privilege to be invited by God, who knows us, who called us, who invited us, and he goes, come and go and read my word with all those who haven't heard it yet. So simple and so powerful, because the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.